the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. I'm Jim Stanley in for Brother Brett Harper today, and joining me is my good friend Dr. Alex McFarland. Alex, are you at home this week?
I'm actually on the road. I had the privilege of speaking at a church over the weekend, and I spoke at a high school and a Christian school this morning, and I'm near Plymouth, North Carolina, in the eastern part of the state, and just having a great time. And I'll be back home late tonight and through Wednesday. How about yourself? You guys going to special for Thanksgiving?
Well, my daughter has some friends coming in, and so we will have the Thanksgiving feast at the Stanley household. You and Angie, of course, are always welcome to come.
But I would love to. Now, what listeners may not know is, the word is that Jim Stanley is renowned for smoking meat and cooking meat. That's one of your superpowers, isn't it?
Well, I don't know about a superpower, but, you know, big guys like to eat, and so I've learned to cook pretty well in the smoker and on the grill. And so we'll have a variety of meat there on Thursday, and so we'll kind of go from there.
Well, amen.
But Bert's out. I was going to say Bert's out on some much-needed R&R, and I know he's going to enjoy being with the grandkids some this week as well. And so it's me and you today and tomorrow, and then we're going to have a special Wednesday afternoon, and then we'll enjoy Thursday and Friday away.
Well, you've been gracious to allow me to fill in for Brian Fisher. We had a great show today on Focal Point, and I'll be on Focal Point Tuesday and Wednesday and tomorrow. Among your calls, listeners, David Gibbs of the Christian Legal Society is going to be with us, and he's a great Christian thinker and an attorney. He represented Terry Schiavo several years ago in a case that had really strong implications for the issue of life. And so I look forward to being on Focal Point, but we look forward to spending the next few moments of exploring the Word in the Gospel of John.
Amen.
Plus your calls. Let me give the number, folks. Later on in the show, we'll get to calls, but it's 888-589-8840. And we'll do calls, but right now a little bit in the Gospel of John.
Yes, sir. Before we do that, I have a couple of logistic issues I need to take care of. So we're going to take our first break early, and then we'll go through this up until the second break with the Word and studying the Word there. And so we'll do that, and we'll be back with more Exploring the Word straight ahead on AFR.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for John Garvin, General Deputy Assistant Secretary for Housing at HUD. His office develops and executes policies on housing in the United States. Isaiah 32:18 reminds us of the importance God's gift is of home. My people will abide in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for guidance for John Garvin in his working at the Department of Housing and Urban Development. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Dr. Tony Evans says, even though the temptation to compromise our beliefs gets stronger every day, there are rewards in store if we have the courage to resist. He'll tell us about one of them today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
A number of years ago, I was at a conference. The speaker at this conference was then President George W. Bush. The crowd applauded as the President of the United States walked in. He said, "I want to thank you for the privilege of being able to address you today." And then he paused. He looked over into my section. He said, "Oh, Tony Evans, I see you over there. How you doing?" Because we had become friends when he was governor. And so now I got 4,000 people looking at me. Because the president knew my name. And he called my name out in the midst of all these other people because of our relationship. One day the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to step forward. And when he steps forward, all of the believers will be around the throne. But don't you want to be one of the folk? You know, "Oh, Billy, I see you over there, Billy. You walk with me during your life. Ruth, I see you over there, Ruth. You are a faithful servant of mine." All of us will be a part of the crowd who know Jesus Christ, but only some will get their names called because they refused to compromise and stood up for the values of the kingdom of God.
If you want to be part of that crowd Dr. Evans was talking about, visit TonyEvans.org and click on the link that says Jesus. There, you'll discover what it means to be a real Christian. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
We believe in the Holy Spirit.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Exploring the Word. As we were saying just before the break, had a couple of logistical issues to take care of. I'm Jim Stanley and I'm in with Dr. Alex McFarland. And we are, if I took notes correctly, we're in John, the 5th chapter, and we're supposed to pick up at verse 19. But Alex, if you don't mind, I'd like to go back and look at 16 through 18 to kind of get us to where what Jesus is going to say, you know, kind of connects.
Well, Jesus had healed a man who had an infirmity for 38 years, and verse 18 says that the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So Jesus had healed this man on the Sabbath. He told the man to pick up your bedroll, and that was seen to be work. And then Jesus called God his Father, mm-hmm. which is truth because he was the Son of God. And so Jesus, by this point, was a marked man, wasn't he?
He sure was. And that's one of the reasons that the Jewish, that in fact, more than breaking the law of the Sabbath, was claiming equality with God. And so, you know, we have a lot of people have a hard time. And a lot of folks say Jesus never claimed to be God and never claimed to be the Son of God. But right here, it's very clear because it says, so the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. For he not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. And so he was about to go through a whole new level of scrutiny. Now, understand, this wasn't the first time that Jesus had healed someone on the Sabbath, was it?
No. And you see, because he said that he was Lord of the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
He said that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Isn't that amazing? And, you know, the many places Jesus attested to his own deity. Jim, I think about Mark 14, 61 through 64, where he quotes Exodus 3:14, and Jesus calls himself the I Am, which is amazing. He quotes Daniel, and he says that he would come at the end of time to judge the world. But it was amazing. One that's always been near and dear to my heart, Matthew 23:37 and Luke 13. Jesus looked over Jerusalem. Now, this is amazing. Did Jesus really claim to be God incarnate? He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who stone the prophets and kill those I sent to you. How often would I have gathered you to myself as a hen gathers her chicks to herself, but you would not. Can you imagine? Okay, they loved Daniel and Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the prophets were revered. And Jesus said that all of those prophets that you venerate, I sent them to you. Mm. Now that's huge, isn't it?
It sure is. And, you know, as I was getting ready for the program today, I was reading some from the Bible Exposition Commentary. And, of course, that's by Warren Wiersbe. And it had some really good points in there about that, you know, because they understood his claim. And so they changed it, you know, they even changed the accusation from Sabbath breaking to blasphemy because of that. And so that I kind of wanted to go back and look at that, because then when we get to verse 9, and folks, I want to remind you that I am using the New Living Translation today. And Alex, I promise we're going to get you one in the mail. I can't believe I forgot that again.
Brother, that is all right.
Brent is taking notes right now, in fact. He had to step in for us, and so he's making notes. Then we'll get you one of those out very soon. But our friends from Tyndale House, well, it's just Tyndale Publishing now. That tells you how old I am. They sent us some of these to give away, and it's the Filament Bible, and you can look it up, and there are some study notes that go along with it for your smartphone or your iPad or your smart device. And so it, you know, the more and more study notes that are being put into the Bibles, the Bibles are so big now, and the print
keeps
getting smaller and smaller. So this Bible kind of tickles me a little bit, because the study notes are to one side, and so I can actually tote a Bible around in my hand comfortably again, and so and this print be big enough that I can read it, because I was to the point I was on my iPad all the time, and folks thought I was playing, but I was taking studious notes, and the print was large enough to read. Nonetheless, the reason I said that is because, you know, in the King James and in different things, it says it has different lines for this. But the New Living Testament just lays verse 19 out. After looking back at that, knowing what was going through their minds, verse 19 starts off, "So Jesus explained." You know, Alex, that's one of those things that we've talked about. When we get to heaven, we're going to ask this question or we're going to ask that question. But we're not really going to have to ask those questions, because we're told that we'll know even as we're also known there in Corinthians. But I love the way that Jesus and his patience just said, "So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees his Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you'll be truly astonished." So 19 through 20 there, that's just kind of, it's almost like another preamble of what of the work of Jesus, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, we are to be subservient to the will of God and trust the will of God. And remember, Jesus is our example in all things. And here he is, fully God, fully human, but not fallen human. And he's our example. And even in baptism, he let John the Baptist baptize him. And he said, you know, it's appropriate that I fulfill all righteousness. And so we are to follow the will of God. Jesus submitted himself to the Father. But I love verse 21. Jesus says, "For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will." Okay, Jesus quickens us, makes us alive. Mm-hmm. Christ is our Savior. But Christ would be raised by the Father. Now again, this is, you know, the story is getting way ahead of itself, I guess, because they don't comprehend yet that Christ will die on the cross, be raised from the dead. But I take in the first part of verse 21, the Father raises up the dead, yes, and the Father would resurrect the Son not too long after this. Do you see a little allusion to the coming resurrection in that verse, Jim?
Absolutely. And it's a good way that you pointed that out, too. And the fact that God had empowered the Son to quicken whom he would as well. You know, that he could give people life. And we see that clearly exampled when he called Lazarus from the grave by name. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And so we know that the Son loved Lazarus. We know that Christ counted him as a friend, counted the family as friends. And so, but he purposely waited so that the glory would be given to God. And so, in addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, he has given the Son the absolute authority to judge. Alex, that right there is a picture of the, we are going to, you know, we've heard talk about the judgment seat of Christ. And right there, Jesus is telling us what that's about.
Yeah. Well, why is all judgment committed to the Son? Because it's the Son alone that can save. And if you reject Jesus, it's the Son that has been rejected. Okay, the Son quickens whom he will, verse 21. The Son, Jesus, has all judgment in his hands. Mm. And my dear friends, if you leave this world having rejected your knowledge of Christ, it will be Jesus that you will face. Everybody, Jim, I think about the atheist. I think about the people that have made fun of Jesus. I think about the mockers and the scoffers, the procrastinators. They will face the Son, the S-O-N. Okay, verse 23, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father who sent him. In other words, if you want to be right with the Father, you do that by getting right with the Son.
Mm-hmm. And verse 24 expands that a little. Jesus says again, and I believe in the King James, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Well, in the New Living Translations, it says, "I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life." And that goes back to what you said earlier, Alex, that Jesus, pardon me, Jesus quickens us. And because of the quickening that takes place from us, the life-changing that takes place in us, we have eternal life at the point we've come to know Christ, right?
We do. At the moment of belief, we're born again the minute we trust Jesus. And many verses testify to that. John 6, verse 40, "Whoever sees the Son and believes on him has everlasting life." And I love verse 24 there. "He that hears my word and believes has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You know, Jim, so many of the wonderful verses of the New Testament that give us encouragement, like 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. Amen. The old things are passed away." Aren't you glad, folks, to put it in modern language, God says, "Look, I'm going to give you a do-over."
Right.
Even maybe you've got years of your life that you feel like you'd just as soon forget about. God says, "I can wash it away." And, you know, folks, I mean, the most important thing is to know that your sins are forgiven, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, salvation. But even being at peace with yourself, coming to grips with your past, look, Jesus Christ can give you a new heart and a new start. And that's just a wonderful thing. That's why, you know, the gospel is called the good news. I mean, it's great news. Jim, it is the best news a human heart could hear, isn't it?
Well, it sure is. And, you know, where it says they will never be condemned for their sins because they've already passed from death unto life. Alex, there may be someone listening today that we basically, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we had a prayer rally, and I played one of those back where the gentleman prayed in Aramaic. And so there may be someone listening right now that understands what we're saying, just about what we understood him to be praying in Aramaic, because it's, you know, and so if someone's listening with dead ears, how can Jesus transform them? What has to happen?
Well, it's very simple, folks. And if right now you're feeling a little tug on your heart, that's God calling you. And don't miss this moment. Right now, I just want to ask everybody listening to make sure that you've come to Christ. And listen, by going to the cross, on the cross, the appropriate measure of God's wrath that you and I deserve for our sin, Jesus paid it all. The punishment that we rightly deserved was poured onto Jesus. And when you accept Christ, you're saying that basically these things. You're saying, you know, I admit that I'm a sinner. I've known the right and I've done the wrong. I admit before a holy God, I'm guilty. And then you're saying, you know what? I believe Jesus was who he claimed to be. All the John chapter 5 and 6, Jesus said, you know, if you believe in me, you've believed in the Father who sent me. So, friend, do you admit Jesus really is the Son of God? I mean, he is unique, sinless life, virgin birth, the miracles. So you're saying, Lord, I'm accepting that you are who you said you are. And then there's the word repentance. And friend, that simply means to turn. Let's say you're driving and you realize that you're going the opposite direction that you need to go. So you turn the car around and you get going in the right direction. That's repentance. Listen, to turn from sin to Jesus. You're saying, I admit I'm a sinner. I want to be saved, and I'm going to put my faith in Jesus. If you do that, you've repented. And then you ask. And the Bible promises, we love these verses where Jesus over and over talks about whoever, anybody who comes to me, I will accept. John 6:37. You say, yeah, but I've done a lot of bad stuff. God knows it, and he loves you. You say, but I've held God at arm's length for years and years. God loves you. If you, my dear friend, whoever you are, wherever you are, if you will turn to Jesus, he will save you. Jim, could I lead in a prayer?
Oh, please.
And friend, if this expresses where your heart is at, and you want to settle this thing, and you want to make right with God, you want to know that death, whenever it comes, and it will, we're all mortals. But when you leave this world, you're going to be ready to meet God. I want you to pray this prayer from your heart to God, and God has promised to hear it. Just something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sins. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose from the dead for me. I turn from my sins, and the best way I know how, Lord, I put my faith in you. Lord, I do believe. So, Lord, please come into my life. Please wash my sins away. Lord, save my soul and help me to follow you for the rest of my life. Now, friend, if you're praying, just please maintain kind of a heart of prayer right now. Just let me tell you this, and I'm going to pray. The Word of God promises, and remember, God cannot lie. God says, whoever comes to me, I will receive. Mm. Did you do that just now? Well, you might not feel the warm fuzzies, or maybe you do. But the Word of God, not our emotions or our feelings, although emotions can be very real sometimes, but it's all based on the reality of God's Word. Now, 1 John 5:13, oh, it's beautiful. Listen to this, and I'm going to close in prayer. It says, these things were written to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. So, my friends, if you prayed and you believed on the name of Jesus right now, 1 John 5:13 says, KNOW. You can know you have eternal life. So let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know people in their heart, they prayed to put their faith in Jesus. And Lord, I pray for the Holy Spirit to fill every heart and every life. I pray for everybody who made a decision to follow Christ. I pray that they will go all the way, not dabble in Christianity, but would become a sincere, obedient follower of the Savior. Lord, I pray that everybody listening to this broadcast, if they prayed that prayer, they would call a number we're going to give and we can just rejoice together. I pray that they would take root and grow, and that, Lord, you would do mighty things through everyone who's trusted you this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Jim, I want to thank you. I know we took several minutes kind of off of John 5 to talk about this, but we've got a number where people that have made a spiritual decision or need some spiritual help, they can call it, can't they?
They sure can. It's 1-800-NEED-HIM. 1-800-NEED-HIM. And that those folks there are dedicated to the Lord. And they, if you've just come to know Christ as Savior, they want to know you. I'd also invite you to do me a favor. If you would send me an email to word@afr.net, word@afr.net, and you need a Bible. If you've not known the Lord before, if you have found Him today, we want to help equip you to become a disciple of Christ. And I want to send you the Bible that we've been talking about. And it will give you some really good devotions. It'll give you some good foundation for study. It's easy to understand. Once you grow some, you know, you may want to get you a King James Version. Man, I tell you, I grew up on it. I love it. Yeah. I still use it as my pulpit Bible from time to time. And you can compare it, you know, as you begin to grow in the Lord. But the reason, Alex, that I wanted you to do that there is because of what we had just read, that they would pass from death into life. And when we pick up at verse 25, it says, and that's why I wanted folks to know that then, because as Alex was saying earlier, we beg you to know Christ now. Because Jesus in verse 25 says, I assure you that the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live. The Father has life in himself, and he has granted me that same life-giving power to his Son. And he has given him authority to judge everyone. Second time that's been mentioned here in this passage of John, because he is the Son of Man. Don't be surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who know Him will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just, because I carry out the will of the one, the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. And that's there in John 5:25 through 30. Alex, that's one of the reasons we do this program. Brother, you know, I think this is one of the best ministry programs that we have on AFR, because we can take that time to tell someone about Jesus. And almost every time that we do, someone tells us they've come to the Lord because of hearing that. Sure, amen. Folks, I understand that most of the time we're preaching to the choir, quote unquote. But you know what? Sometimes people in the choir need to know Jesus too.
That's true. That's true. And you know what? Literally, Jim, traveling this country as I love to do, and I'm on the road right now, but in the Atlanta airport, I've talked to listeners that hear the show, Dallas, Fort Worth, all over this nation, people have come up to me and they've said, you know, Alex, I wasn't sure I was a Christian. I hoped I was a Christian, just wasn't sure, but I was listening to Exploring the Word and I made sure. And whether you're somebody who today was a Damascus road, the first time you ever really seriously thought about Jesus, or maybe you've just been in church and you want to make sure, Jim, I'm, you know, the way the world is right now, and goodness, pandemic and COVID and instability. Let me just say, friends, this is the time to have one's house in order, shall we say. And I believe right now, maybe the hard times and the challenging world situation, it might motivate a lot of us to say, look, I need to be straight with God. You know, whether by my own mortality or Christ's return, Jim, and we're going to get there in the Gospel of John. Friend, I want to say this about making sure that you're walking with Christ, that you know Christ. Jesus is coming back. I mean, this is one of the things. I believe it as much as I believe in the nose on my face. It is a reality that Jesus is coming back one day, and he wants you to be ready. And he's going to usher in a glorious heaven and eternity, and you can be a part of it. And so that's why we're saying, look, have your house in order, and God is waiting to receive you. We always say this, he's as close by as a prayer.
He sure is. And, you know, when Jesus himself is telling you what you can do to assure yourself of eternal life, you're not listening to Jim and Alex. We're simply reading to you the Word of God. And, you know, there is, now I trust Alex, I trust him with my life. I'd trust him with my wife's life. I'd trust him with my kids' life. But here's one thing I wouldn't trust him with. I wouldn't trust him with my eternal life.
Amen.
And that's because Alex can't save me. I can't save him, and we can't save you. But the Jesus of whom we just read, he can, and he will save, because Amen. He promised to.
Do you know, Jim, I'm sure everyone has heard of the name Charles Spurgeon.
Mm-hmm.
Spurgeon was an amazing man of God. He was kind of like the David Jeremiah, I guess, or the Billy Graham of the 19th century. And somebody asked Spurgeon, they said, what if you died and it turns out you're lost? You know, you've believed all this stuff, but what if you're not in heaven? He said, impossible. And they said, well, goodness, you're cocky. That's pretty confident. He said, no, God cannot lie. And the Word of God promised that if I would trust Jesus, I would be saved. The Word of God promised, Romans 5, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this. If there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, on the flip side, there is condemnation to those who aren't yet in Christ Jesus. But the thing about Spurgeon, he said, look, emotions come and go. Our feelings, they're up and down. They're hot, they're cold. But the Word of God, he said, because my standing with God is based on the Scripture, which cannot err, I'm confident. And that's how we have to base our life, Jim. The, you know, we go on and Jesus says, marvel not at this, verse 28 of John chapter 5. Do not be surprised. Do not marvel. The hour is coming in which all that are in the graves will hear God's voice, and they will come forth. And they that have done good, literally, those that are righteous under the resurrection of life, but those that are unrighteous under the resurrection, now this is John 5:29, damnation.
Mm.
That's hard talk.
Sure
it's not is. Alex's word. That's God's word.
Sure is. Folks, this is Exploring the Word. We'll take your phone calls next at 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 as Exploring the Word continues on American Family Radio.
That's something that's not resonating, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we can just like leave it all just like that.
Will and Mickey Addison.
I think that in the church, we've done a horrible job of really putting the weight of that covenant on people when they say, hey, you know, things are not working out and we're gonna separate, we're gonna part.
Marriage, family, and the church. That's the focus of Airing the Addisons.
You're fighting for a covenant that you have made to another person.
Right.
Weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
The petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what could it hurt? What could it hurt? What could it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at afa.net.
Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Here Jesus instructed his disciples to cross a lake and meet him on the other side of it. As they went, they were met by a violent windstorm that halted their progress. Often in our Christian lives, we receive clear instruction from the Lord, only to be met by an obstacle that halts our progress. We must, however, recognize that the onset of a storm does not cancel out God's instructions. Halted progress does not equal denied destination. When Jesus directed the disciples to go to the other side, he absolutely meant for them to get there. Delay does not equal denial.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is Dr. Stephen Rummage with today's Moving Forward Minute. Psalm 91, verse 14 tells us, "Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him." So what does it mean to hold fast to God in love? Just take your lips for a moment and hold them really close together, so close that they form a seal. And when you breathe out, well, no air will pass through. Well, that's a good picture of what it means when the psalmist says, "Hold fast to God in love." That's how we're to love God. We're to cling so tightly and so closely to Him that nothing comes between you and your God. God says that when you hold fast to Him, He will deliver you, rescue you, answer you, and honor you. And He will be with you in every circumstance, even the greatest trouble. For more resources, visit movingforwardradio.org.
Join me every Sunday morning at 8:30 Central for Moving Forward right here on AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Great song there from Zach Williams. He is a chain breaker. And as we talked about just before the break, we told you how he breaks the chains of death to give you eternal life. Alex, I'm going to put a pin that we made it to verse 25.
Sounds good.
And then tomorrow we can discuss verse 25 forward. I know I read those verses, but I did that to tie into what we had been talking about. And so tomorrow we'll discuss those some, because I know you've got some great stuff on that. Folks, I know that we've been going kind of slow through the book of John, but I tell you, if there's ever a gospel to go through a little bit slower than just the airplane view, John's one to do it in.
Amen. That's for sure. It really is. Folks, we love to hear from you, and we're going to open up the phone lines and take calls. If you have a Bible question, Jim Stanley and I will do our best to give you an answer that is factual and biblical. And the number is 888-589-8840. Let me remind you, on AFR.net, the shows are archived. Mm-hmm. You can forward them. If there's a show you especially like, you can very easily, with a click, send it to somebody or save it. So check out not only Exploring the Word, but all the other great programming, too, on AFR.net.
Hey, you know what? I think you've done that before.
Oh, it's a great, and the app too, folks.
That's right. By the way, some of you have been emailing us to let us know that there's a problem with TuneIn. Some of you listen to AFR on Alexa, and we are aware of the problem, and we're doing all that we can to resolve it. And so just want to let y'all know. Now, another listener told me that they had found a different streamer other than TuneIn. Unfortunately, I didn't get the name of that. So I'm going to try and get a hold of them again and see if we can't help you because we want you to be able to listen to us on the app, on Alexa. You know, I mean, if you're in the space lab in the moon, you know, up not on the moon, but in orbit around the Earth, we want you to be able to get us wherever you are. So, Alex, let's go to the phones. We're going to talk to Karen calling from Texas. Karen, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Oh, thank you. I was reading this morning in Zechariah, and I'm driving, so I can't tell you the exact verse, but I think it's the last chapter where it talks about the wounds in my hands I received from the house of my friends. And I'd always thought that had to do with Jesus, but the verses before it says the guy's going to say, I'm not a prophet, I'm just watching after my family's cattle. So what is that verse referring to? And I can't hear very well on my cell phone, so I'm going to hang up and listen on the radio.
All right, Karen, thanks so much. Alex, she said that's in Zechariah. Are you familiar 13, with that?
13:6.
Okay.
You know, what's really interesting, by the way, it's funny, I was at a school this morning and I referenced Zechariah. You know, Zechariah was written about 500 years before the birth of Christ, and in Zechariah 9, we've really got kind of the prophecy of Palm Sunday, and in Zechariah 13, really at the end of time, it talks about when Christ returns, and they will say, what are these wounds in your hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Now, one thing about the prophets of old, they will have, like, there'll be some narrative about Israel and are they walking with God, or, you know, they're like a harvest that didn't get gotten in. And suddenly, in the middle of some narrative about history or crops or the morals of the people, there'll be just some nugget, you know, dropped in there. And these messianic prophecies were one of the ways, I think, Jim, when Nicodemus and many of the religious leaders did believe in Jesus, they understood, wow, he fulfilled Micah 5:2. He was born in Bethlehem. He fulfilled Isaiah 7:14. He was born of a virgin. So understand that context is important, but 13 begins, a fountain opened to the house of David. And it comes to pass in that day. And
you're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. I'm Jim Stanley, along with Dr. Alex McFarland. And he was talking about the question there in Zechariah. And Alex, go ahead with your thoughts.
Did I drop out or something?
Well, you did, and I covered it until you said that.
Well, I'm sorry, I dropped out. I'm sorry.
Folks, when we say we have logistic problems from time to time, they can range from almost anything, a microphone not working, to a Comrex unit dropping out, and sometimes it doesn't matter how hard we try, something's going to give, because we do, I mean, we rely on computers all the time, don't we?
Well, we really do, and, you know, between where I am and Tupelo, there might be many servers and things like that. But let me say this. All right, now hang with me, folks. In James 3:1, it says, don't become a teacher because the teachers will be judged more harshly.
Mm.
Okay? Now, Zechariah 13 is talking about the return of Christ at the end of the Battle of Armageddon. And they're going to see, and it says that they will wail and mourn like the mourning for the death of an only son. And it'll say, what are these wounds in your hands and feet? Now, go back to verse 4 of Zechariah 13. It shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed every one of his visions when he has prophesied. Neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I'm no prophet, I'm not a husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. See, 4 and 5 of Zechariah 13 are false prophets. These are the preachers that were the universalists and said, oh, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. These are the ministers that perform gay weddings. These are the ministers that didn't teach the word of God. So here comes Jesus in the clouds and they know, hey, it's judgment day. And James 3:1 says the false teachers are going to be judged all the more harshly. And they're going to say, oh, wait, whoa, I'm not a prophet. I don't wear a prophet's garment. And the people, though, will say to Jesus, what are these wounds in your hands and feet? The wounds that I was wounded with in the house of my friends. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so, Jim, do you see that? I mean, in the prophetical books, there's a lot in there. And from one verse to the next, it can change gears.
It sure can. And, you know, but the thing is that the scripture never contradicts itself. Just like you said there in James, you know, don't want to be a teacher because of how they're going to be held accountable. And then, you know, in Romans, Paul says, you know, when we talk about being sent to take the gospel of the good news, says, how can they hear without a preacher or a teacher? And so just be very sure of what your calling is. If you take up the mantle of a leader, be prepared to answer for what you've said and what you've taught. All right, Steve in Texas, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, sir. I got a rapture question. Whenever the rapture happens, you know, I've heard ever since I was a little kid that people just disappeared. Well, why would the Lord want to keep our old bodies and have them resurrected when we're going to get new bodies? Do you think that, you know, when the rapture happens, that the soul is just going to leave the body and the body will be left behind? Or, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of people would say, you know, well, I guess the COVID took them out or something, you know. You know, some people, I guess, are going to be deceived by it, but if people just disappear, they probably wouldn't be too deceived, you know.
Well, Steve, that's a great question, and I actually have a draft in my email box where I was trying to answer that question for a listener. And Alex, it is one of those things. You know, my father-in-law quit watching the Sci-Fi Channel because he felt like that was going to lead to build people up, you know, for a time of the rapture where they would try and explain it away by aliens. And so, you know, I'm not quite that far to the right. But the situation in which we live now, that is a valid question, you know. Why do, yeah, I know the scripture says our bodies will be transformed in the twinkle of an eye. And so I think part of it would have to be to honor his word. But why, you know, why even resurrect them from the graves to give them a new body? Help us with that.
Well, great question. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:51, Paul writes, "Behold, I show you a mystery, but I tell you, we will all sleep. However, we all will be changed." And sleep there means the sleep of death. And, of course, 1 Thessalonians talks about the fact that the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. It's interesting. In the first century, when the church was beginning, there was a heresy called Gnosticism. G-N-O-S-T-I-C-I-S-M. Gnosticism. The G is silent. By the way, you know, consonants are silent, not Gnostic. Otherwise, we would have knowledge. But Gnosticism said that the flesh is evil. Now, one thing about Christianity is your body is a beautifully designed creation of God. And in the Christian view, and Jim, I don't fully understand this, but you're going to get a glorified, perfected body.
Mm-hmm.
No more death, no more sickness, no more tears. And so your body is important to God. And that's why the flesh is not evil. Now the flesh can do evil. You can use your body, your mind, to do evil things. But far from it, the body itself is a beautiful thing. And it's going to be even more beautiful because we're gonna take up a robe and crown, as the old song says. So somehow, Jim, you know, it's been said, we've been saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved from the power of sin. One day we're going to get delivered from the very presence of sin. Amen. And you'll be in heaven in the twinkling of an eye in a glorified body. Jim, I don't know completely what it means, but there won't be any more COVID. Won't be any more cancer.
That's right.
And, you know, there's a lot of things that we do in church that we'll do in heaven. We fellowship, we worship. But guess what we'll never do in heaven? We will never have funerals.
Amen.
Isn't that a good thing?
That is awesome. That is such a great point right there. All right, Steve, I hope that helped. Have a great afternoon and happy Thanksgiving. And now we're going to talk to Kevin from Kentucky. Kevin, good afternoon and welcome to Exploring the Word. Hello, Kevin.
Yes, sir. Hi. My question is, in Judges, I think it's 11. I don't have a Bible here with me, but I was reading it last night, and there was a man named Jephthah, if I'm pronouncing that right, made a vow to the Lord. He was going to go to war and lead against this army, and he told the Lord he would give a sacrifice to the first thing that come out of his house when he got home, and it happened to be his daughter. And I just want to know, because he said he would give a burnt sacrifice. So did he actually sacrifice his daughter or what?
You know, that's a question people have wondered about. Did he go through with it? And did he sacrifice his daughter? Now, if a person in the Old Testament made a vow, they were supposed to keep their word. Norm Geisler was a great Christian thinker, and he addressed this. This is in Judges chapter 10. And it doesn't say, many Jewish teachers thought that maybe he relented on, you know, in Judges 11:30, Jephthah made the following vow to God: if you deliver the Ammonites into my hands, then whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me on my safe return shall be a burnt offering. And out comes his daughter. So she says, do this to me, Father, Judges 11:37. Let me go for 2 months and I will go up and down the mountains and weep with my friends that she's not going to get married and have a family. Now, so here's the thing. People have said, well, if he didn't kill his daughter, then he didn't fulfill a vow to God. Well, a lot of Christian ethics professors have said that would have been fine because the highest ethic of service to another human is the preservation of human life. And so this was a rash vow. Now, he may have done it, but Jim, I like to hope that maybe he got before God and repented and didn't do it. Because here's the thing, whatever God does and whatever we do, there should be a morally sufficient reason for doing it. Now, we're supposed to keep our word to God, but if we make a promise to do something ungodly, and this was, then not only is it the right thing to do to repent and change, but it would be the wrong thing to fulfill it. So the Bible doesn't specifically say that he went through with it, but even if he didn't, saving a life would have been better than fulfilling a vow that was not even a godly vow anyway.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And Kevin, one thing we'll tell you is if we don't know, we just don't know. But we do believe that that would not be honorable to God. That would not be a sacrifice that God would honor. Because there, again, you know, when we think of the slain son or the slain child, we think of the child of Christ, you know, the Christ child who grew to be a man. So, Alex, I agree with you, man. That one's just hard to tell because
we don't know. Now, Abraham and Isaac, that was what God told Abraham to do.
That's right.
God didn't tell Jephthah to do this.
That's right. All right, folks, this has been Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. We'll pick up tomorrow afternoon at 3:05 Central in the 5th chapter of John at verse 24. Have a great afternoon, and thanks for listening to American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.